want to use for a thought, the suffering servant, now sovereign Savior. The suffering servant. Now sovereign Savior. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to understand the Old Testament theology, we must understand the God of the Old Testament. He is a covenant-keeping God. He is a God who keeps his promises. Brothers and sisters, you and I can know him personally, and we can have a relationship with him, and we can have an encounter with him. The Bible is written with Jesus as the central figure of the whole Bible. With understanding, Jesus is found in the Old Testament as symbols and foreshadows and types. Jesus is man always looking for a substitute or a something else type of religion. So this Jesus, that's the central figure in the Old Testament, speaks in the New Testament, and he says, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I come to fulfill. Brothers and sisters, I'm in my text right about now. Listen, my brothers and sisters, he did it all for us. Amen. This suffering servant, all of his suffering, all that he went through, he did it all for us. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. The prophets graciously and empathetically states that the suffering of the servant of the Lord was ordained. It was ordered. It was intended by the Lord even for his pleasure. My brothers and sisters, let's not get this thing twisted. This was God's doing. He has put him to grief. Wow, my brothers and sisters, so and so, you know, training teaches us to approach the text with open mind, with bombard the text with questions. And so I had a question or so while I was looking at this text. And my question was, how do you handle suffering when God ordained it? Oh, I thought y'all might be excited about that. My brothers and sisters, how do we handle suffering when God ordained it? You know, many of us say, Lord, why me? I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to pay my tithes. I'm trying to love folk, and they don't even try to love me back. Lord, what's really going on? Lord, what's up with all of this? Well, my brothers and sisters, all I can tell you is what the Bible says. And I like telling folk what the Bible says. Listen, St. John chapter 16, verse 33b, here's what the words of Jesus says. He says, in this world, you will suffer. But he said, but be of good cheer. I know that's old King James, but a lot of us will read up with that. But he said, but be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Yeah, be encouraged because I have overcome the world. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if Jesus suffered, what about you and I? I don't understand folk like us, because most of the time when we go through stuff, it's self-afflicted. Amen. We are our own selves' problem. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, in this life, we will suffer. Listen, Jesus was not victim of circumstance or at the mercy of political or military power. It was the plan. It was God's divine plan. Ordained work of the Lord Jesus. Prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years before it happened. Brothers and sisters, this was God's victory. Not Satan. Nor man's triumph. This was God's victory. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The Father and the Son worked together at the cross. Though Jesus was treated as he was, as if he was an enemy of God, he was not. Even as Jesus was punished as if he was punished as if he was a sinner, he was performing the most holy service to the Lord the Father ever offered. This is why Isaiah say, yet it pleases the Lord to bruise him. In and of itself, the suffering of the Son did not please the Father, but as it accomplished the work of reconciling the world to himself, it was completely pleasing to the Father of God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, verse 11, when we have made his soul an offering for sin, the Hebrew speaks of a pacific, sacrificial sin offering as described in Leviticus chapter 5. The ideal of this substitutionary atonement for sin cannot be more specifically stated. Brothers and sisters, don't get this thing twisted. Jesus suffered. Yes, he did. He suffered it, and he did it all. He did it all for us. He felt the terror of sin as we have sin, but could not really feel it. And the sight of the evil afflicted with him much more than it does the appearance among us. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The death, the burial, the offering of the Messiah does not end the story. The Mashiach, the Messiah, he lives on. He sees, he lives to see his seed, his spiritual descendants. The Mashiach will have no regrets. Every bit of his suffering and agony was worth it. And it brought sacrificial results. It is in knowing the Mashiach, the Messiah, in both he is and what he has done that makes us justified before Christ. All I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, he did it all for you. He went through the suffering, the agony, and the shame, and he did it all for us. And so in verse 12, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. The Mashiach, graciously work will be rewarded with the image of dividing the spoil after victorious battle. We see that the Mashiach ultimately triumphs. Paul describes this ultimate triumph in Philippians 2, 10 and 11. He says, at the name of Jesus. I thought y'all might be happy right there. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of in heaven and those on earth. And those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. That is the glorious reward. We share and we can share in the spoil of Jesus' victory. The Bible says heirs. And John heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. Romans 8 and 17. And brothers and sisters, I want to let you know again, he did it all for you. Not only did he suffer the agony and the shame, he did it all just for us. And so, he poured out his soul unto death. This speaks of the totality of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He is on the cross. And he's sacrificing himself for you and for me on the cross. Pour out means that it was all gone. There was nothing left. Nothing more for Jesus to give. Jesus gave poor sinners like us everything. The text says he poured the sins of many. I'm trying to make you understand he did it all just for you. Come on, point at yourself. He did it all just for me. Folk that don't always do what's right. I'm just trying to tell you he did it all for us. Folk that don't say the right thing all the time. He did it all just for us. Folk that don't love like we ought to love. He did it all just for me. Folk that go places that we shouldn't go. He did it all just for you. Folk that hang out in places that we know we shouldn't hang out. He did it all just for us. Jesus had, and I'm out of here when I tell you, Jesus had a ministry of intercession, praying for intercession. Praying for sinners. I'm out of here when I tell you in St. John chapter 17, Jesus knew his time wasn't long on earth. And so he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Ask on my behalf, but I'm asking on their behalf. And if you keep on reading the text, his prayer was, Lord, make them one. In verse 17, verse 15b of the same chapter, he says, Lord, keep them from the evil one. And then here's what I was trying to get to in chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The works of the Messiah is made available to all transgressors. It is when we see ourselves as transgressors that we can reach out and receive his salvation. And this is the suffering servant. But I better go ahead on and tell you that one Friday evening
on a hill called Calvary. He died. Or didn't he die? They hung him on the cross from the third to the ninth hour. It got so dark that you can almost feel it in the palm of your hand. And the centurion soldiers shouted out that this must be the Son of God. They took him down from the cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. But I wish I had about four people, and I'll make number five to say early Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hand. No longer a suffering servant, but he's a sovereign Savior. How many of you know him today? Don't fool me now. He lived. He lives. Christ Jesus, he lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. All alone, life's led away. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I'm out of here now, but I got just one question, and I'm gonna leave you alone. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, come on, suffering servant. Now the sovereign Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter how many times you hear it, the story never gets old. Don't ever, ever give up this story for another. He did die. You know, to think about it, that it says it pleased. The Lord was pleased to crush him. You say, who would do that to somebody they love? Tell your neighbor, that's love. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Some of you been through some stuff with your kids. You've been through some stuff with your spouse. Watch this. You've been through some stuff, but you're still there. Oh, that's what Jesus did for us. He was crushed, but he's still there. He understood what he was about to do. He knew the reason why. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Putting him to grief. You read the passage. Him, he. It's telling us about someone. So if you didn't learn anything this week, here's what you've learned. Isaiah 53 paints the picture of a man that the Jew did not know. They were waiting for Elijah and still waiting for him. And then Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, but this is the passage that the Jew will not accept as Jesus. So the question, when I was in Israel and we were at my hotel and the rabbi came and we had a discussion with the rabbi, and we got to Isaiah 53. He started to stumble and stutter. And he wanted to go over that. I didn't press the issue. I wasn't there to fight. But they still can't explain. Who is this suffering servant that's transformed into what? A savior, a sovereign savior. What am I saying tonight? You've sat under the word of God all week, whether online or in-house. Here's what you, but here's what you walk away with. Sunday, it's not about Easter. It's not about candy and commercialism. Sunday is a serious day. Sunday is when we were set free. So as you tabernacle to your respective places of worship, have this one mind, that Resurrection Sunday is about our Savior. So whatever you do, put on your beautiful dresses and put on your brand new suit and your shoes and Easter dresses for the little children if you want to, but go there with one thing in mind. It's all about Jesus. Please do me that favor. Have a mind for Christ. And as you go into your worship, as you go into your worship, I want you to say to yourself, God, thank you for Jesus. Aren't you glad? Anybody here glad? That one day when you close your eyes, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord.